is that precious to us. That he would, that we would be faithful, and he'll take thee at thy parting breath to his divine abode. Do we want to be there and dwell in that eternity of everlasting joy and bliss? I'm very blessed this morning to be here. The song service, the sharing, being together, encouraging each other in the Lord. We sang 490, verse 5 says, thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar and seize it with their eyes. So they're looking for something out there, and they know of something better than here. And isn't that why we're here today, sharing the good news of what God has done for us and wants to do for every one of his precious children? Can we arise for a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we bow here before you. We know that of ourselves, it's only ourself. But we know that through you, in you, and for you, your work can continue as it did for the heritage of our fathers, as we sang. Father, that could be real to us, that it can be real to our children. Father, we know that trials, things coming in this life will perfect us and draw us closer to you. And we know that you want to do that continually and help us to be more pure and more holy for you. Father, we ask that you would do that even today, as you have been doing with the words that have been shared, the words that have been sung this morning. Lord, bless it to our life, and we want to observe and do all that you teach us. Lord, we ask that your presence would be here today as we observe to hear from you and do your ways and be followers of you. Lord, we know that we can easily live a life of ease in this, our day. We ask that you would refine us and help us. Father, we say this carefully, but we know that you want to do a work even here in 2022, and we ask that you would do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm inspired this morning that God is faithful. We have a faithful God. And also, he has a special plan for every one of us. He did not create any one of us in here and across the world that he didn't have a special plan for. And that's what's exciting to me, because we can easily think of all the whys and wheres and whens and whats and why am I doing this or why am I here. But God, if we seek God for who we are and for who God has put us here for, he will show us his plan. Turn to Ephesians 5. Actually, 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, sinners, in the vanity. It expresses itself in how they walked, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We can see that in what Timo shared with us this morning. In the blindness of their heart, it says here. So did they intentionally do it? Or was it something that they... Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, if you heard Christ and have been taught by Christ, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, so you talk in a different way, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If we look at verse 23 and then in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And here in verse 23 it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So both of them are talking about your mind, but it's talking about the carnal mind and the renewed mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that's why I am inspired that God has a plan for every one of us. In true holiness, created in righteousness and true holiness. We read in our family devotions last night, while we're right here anyhow, Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Do something. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Do we think that God would have given, Jesus would have given his life for us, by doing God's will, if he wouldn't have loved us? But because he loved us, he was willing to give himself so that we can be saved, so that we can see his plan. And God has that plan even today for us. For a sweet-smelling savor to God, he did it. And why do we love each other? So that our brothers and sisters know that we care for them, that we love them, that we give our lives. And do we give our lives for each other if we don't love each other? I don't think so. And God's plan of salvation is just as powerful and just as real today as it was way back. That's exciting to me. I would like to share some thoughts that I've been pondering the last couple weeks on my thoughts. What am I thinking about? And how does that form my life and those around me? And so I'd like to look at some scriptures and just clarify on, to remind us of what are we thinking. Because there in Ephesians 4, verse 17, where it says they walked in the vanity of their mind. So it was something going on in their minds that they were walking in. And if we're renewed in our mind, renewed in the spirit of our mind. So God is in that picture. A question that I would have, that I had for myself while seeking the scriptures, and are we thinking about what we are thinking? And that's kind of a tongue twister, because we can so easily think things and not even think about what we're thinking about. Is it important what we think? Yes. I believe it is. Do we need to think? We automatically think. We automatically are thinking about a lot of things. And that's why it's beautiful this morning to sing about God. Looking out the window and we see the snow. And we think of scriptures that we can be washed. Like that pureness of that snow is how we can be washed. Would that picture be clear if only one flake of snow would come down to the earth? That's what I was thinking a little bit this morning, sitting here. But with all the flakes together and the whole earth covered around us in white, gives a beautiful picture of what God was saying there when he said our soul can be that clean. So yes, it does matter what we think. And God cares about us. And he wants to change our thinking. Every one of us at one or another point has to change our thinking, our way of thinking. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 10. Read a couple verses there, 1 to 5. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So people were thinking that they are walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If we think of that and think back on the verse that we read in Ephesians, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So it's not carnal anymore, but mighty through God. And the Spirit that changed us, that we can be a new, have a new mind and think a different way. And what happens? The pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? Other than the way we think, things we think about in wrong ways that God wants to help us. Because in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself, pride, against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. It's another picture of how God wants to be in the picture. And if we're not thinking about what we're thinking, we will think anything. Another thought I had was, if someone expresses anger, often it is, if I express anger or frustration versus anger, it's all anger, I quickly say something. I don't think about what I'm going to say. Because normally if we think about it, before we say something, if we feel anger, we don't say what we would if we say it right away. Because we didn't think about it. So we didn't apply this verse where it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I just sat there pondering that verse. How can we grasp a hold of every thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ other than thinking about what we're thinking about? I think Sister Kay could tell us what it feels like to be in captivity. I mean, she wasn't under the power of what she wanted to do. She was under the power of the people around her and also under the mighty hand of God. But in a natural sense, she couldn't do anything other than what the guards allowed them to do right at that moment. So how can we take our thoughts captive so that they don't have control over us, is what I was thinking about. And if we think in that way, a little illustration I thought, if we take a clear something and we visualize that this is our mind and we put every thought in here, a thought comes towards our brother, sister, our wife, our children, and we capture that thought, put it in here, and we just observe that thought, every angle, before we do anything. So we took that thought into captivity. So it's not in control of just doing with my flesh whatever happens. But we are in control, are we? Is that what Scripture says? In the spirit, renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it needs to be God. We need to view our thoughts according to the way God thinks about that thought. Because if we don't do that, it will be our way of thinking. And it might be right, and it might not. It might be a carnal thinking. So in this very verse, it gives a clear description to bring it to the obedience of Christ. So if we have the thought captured and we think about this thought, we look at it, we observe it on every angle, should have a clear cap on it yet. And we think, is this in obedience to God, or is it kind of what I want? And that helps us because we have it captive. It can't do anything. Because with God's help, we can take it captive. And that thought cannot do anything with our body, with our life, than what God allows it to do. If we do that, if we take it captive, if we are serious about that and God's Spirit is helping us. Before we go on, I'd like to look at verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When we see what should happen with that thought that we have taken captive, and we're ready to take revenge of all disobedience. We're ready to say, you gotta go. This is not in light of what God wants. It's not being obedient to what God wants. It needs to go. So we can take it to Christ and dismiss that thought. Does it just go? God will help us. If we have the renewed mind and we take the thought captive, I think that's the power in itself. If it needs to go, it will go. And the more I thought about how we think, the more I realized how much our minds are just going, 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 going. And to capture every thought, it's mind-boggling. For me, it was to think that I can capture every thought and bring it into obedience of Christ. But I think the more, if we start doing that and God renews us, and the more we think about what we're thinking, the more that God can channel those thoughts in the way he wants them to go. And it's more of an automatic, because we know immediately if we've done it with, no, that was a wrong thought. So the next time we have that same thought, we don't have to take that whole process because we know where that belongs. In Romans 8, verse 6 and 7, there's some verses that got my mind spinning also and were a big part of my conversion. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it is not subject to the law of God. So we can think that if we have a carnal mind and we're thinking, one of the songs we sang this morning was A Life of Ease. Am I a soldier of the cross, or do I just take the life of ease? Am I fighting? Am I in this warfare that it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we are in a war, even here in this church house. We are in a war. Because every one of us has a mind, and we're all thinking things. We're all thinking about something. And it is okay to think, am I carnally minded? Is that a carnal thought? Because that's what got me thinking. Because it's very clear, carnally minded is death, but spiritual minded is life and peace. But then the verse that it says, for the carnal mind is enmity. The carnal mind is an enemy to God because it is not subject to what God says. So all in all, it comes back to doing what the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, having faith of our fathers, having that trust and confidence that the Word of God is what the Word of God says. And then taking every thought captive to the obedience of what God says. I looked up the Greek definition of carnality. For to be carnally minded, that definition is simply flesh, human nature, and my passion. For to be in my flesh, in my human nature, in my passion, is death. If we think that way, what I want, I need your help on this one. But I had a thought. Behind every thought, or every thought that we have, in the end of every thought, at the end of every thought, there's a person. You can think about that a little bit. At the end of every thought, there is a person. It's either myself or it's other people, the things we're thinking about, or it's God, God's way. And if we think about God's way and we do it God's way because of the thoughts we have, it will automatically include the people around us. It will include others. So my thought is, how much, if we think about this scenario of behind every thought that I think, someone is being glorified. Someone is behind this thought. If I start thinking about something, is it so I can get what I want? It's either myself or others or God behind every thought. And carnal thinking will always be myself. Always. Carnal thinking is always to the benefit of what I can do, what I can get, where I can go, what I want. How I will do it. As a young boy, if I would find out that Dad is going to an auction, one of my first thoughts would be to be a real good boy. Because of what? So I can go along. And sometimes that made a difference. But it was for myself. It was so that I can get what I want. And that's carnal thinking. I wasn't taking that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because if I would have done that, I would have looked at the Word of God, taken that thought captive. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, so that you may live long on the earth, whatever the words are. Then I would have been surrendered. Whatever Dad decides, I'm going to be happy with. And it wouldn't have been this sneaking thought that I can get my way. What about imagining things? If we start imagining something, do we take that in here also? Is that really true? Is it really what God wants? Who is being glorified in the end of an imagination? A thought about imagining what someone thinks about me or I think about him or... What about a thought of partiality? Do we take that in here too? Yes. Every thought, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What about a bitter thought? Hatred. All of these fall under the category of a carnal mind. Because it is, if we have a bitter thought, it's often behind that is myself. Envy. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As we think in our heart, so are we. So is it important what we think? Yes. We could go on and on with the list of carnal thoughts. So that I can be glorified. And a lot of this is, we don't intentionally think that I can get my way or I can, but we do it unintentionally. We do it, if we have a carnal mind, that's the way we think. We think about ourselves. We think how we can get what we want. And another thought I had is, it is much harder for a carnal person to take every thought captive. Because we're not willing, and we don't have the Spirit of God, so we're not willing even to take that and look at it. Because we want what we want, so we bypass the captivity part, and we go do what we want to do. because we're not thinking the way God thinks. We're thinking the way I think, what I want, what I need, what I feel I need. It's carnal thinking. So it's much harder to think about what we're thinking about when we're carnal. Let's flip it around. The other side, with God's Spirit and the renewing of our mind, and we've talked a little bit about loving. Jesus loved us, so he gave himself. And without giving of ourselves, how do we love others? So if I want to love you all, I'm going to be thinking about you all. I'm going to be praying about you. I'm going to be thinking of the needs you have or how I could bless you. And if I take all those thoughts to the obedience of Christ and look at them to do kindness or give myself in service to one of you, would that be obedient to Christ? Yes. And we can do it wholeheartedly and knowing that God is actually pleased with that. And we can love our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our children, because God says so. God says we shall do that. We often hear this verse, but I think I'm going to read it. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, we can take that under here. And we can observe it with this verse. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's a way of observing what we're thinking. Is it pure? Is it honest? And how much good can we do? How much loving can we do without thinking about loving the brethren, doing good to others? Respecting others, giving ourselves, sharing. But what about going by the word of God and claiming what God says? What about the verse where it says, love your enemies? Can a carnal mind do that? Have a thought against an enemy, and we put it in here, and Word of God says to love him. Cain needed to love the captors. I'm sure it wasn't all easy. But God says we need to. So we need to do it. We need to bend our hearts to that, and God is willing to help us if we're willing to take every thought captive by his Spirit. Doing good to them that hate you. If we go by the word of God, it stands true. Pray for them which despisefully use you. Or do we go talk to other people about it? He did so and so. Now I better not be his friend anymore. Pray for him. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So the persecuting part comes under that too. And we sang some songs this morning about when we pass from this life, we know that there is an eternity. We know that we have this hope within us that we can be with God. So people can kill the body. They can persecute us. But if we are in Christ, they're only killing this flesh. What about if someone smites thee on one cheek? And we put that thought in here. That takes a quick response. We need to quickly look at that. Because to quickly turn the other cheek is probably the best. But if we don't know the word of God, that we need to turn the other cheek. He did something, so I do good to them that hate me. Turn to him the other also. Do you think that humility would grow in us if we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? I think I would be willing to forgive every time, easily, if we are willing to take every unforgiving thought and bring it into captivity and think about it. Well, no, that's not a right thought. If I don't want to forgive my brother, if I don't want to forgive, what will happen? But if I'm willing to bring it to the obedience of Christ, I'm going to be willing to forgive. What about repentance? If we do see that we have wronged someone, if we see that we have said something we shouldn't have said, and we think about it, what does the Bible say? What does God's word instruct us? How can we walk in obedience to unrepentance? Is to repent. What about fasting and praying? If we have thoughts of people that are bound, if we are bound, if we recognize that we have something that we just can't let go, are we willing to bring it to the obedience of Christ and fast and pray about it so that our thoughts and our life can be changed? And at the end of every thought, God can be glorified rather than myself. But if we think about what James says, we will all be tempted, right? So we're in this war every moment. We're in this war every day of our thoughts being taken captive, bringing them to the obedience of Christ. And my thoughts went to Matthew 4, where Jesus was tempted. And the exciting part is that Jesus used what was written. What God had written, Jesus used the word of God to withstand temptation. And that's what excited me, that it still works today. That we can quote scripture, we can use and stand and have faith in the word of God, and he will help us to overcome whatever temptation we're faced with. I'm going to read a couple of verses there in Matthew 4. Jesus' temptation. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So he was thinking, he had thoughts, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, so he was thinking about what God's will is. I'm sure he was taking his thoughts captive and bringing them, because him and the Father were one, so he knew exactly what God's will was. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And if you go back to Deuteronomy 8, it's verse 3 is about exactly the same words as that. "It is written." And the devil knew that that word was in here. And Jesus used that word, and the devil could, he he probably thought, well, yeah, that is written down. That is the word of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Going back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, similar words. It is written. God had written it down, and Jesus was standing on the word of God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Beautiful words that are also in Deuteronomy 6. Him only shalt thou serve. And if we bring that back to taking every thought captive, every thought, God wants to be at the end of every thought. If we think about and we take every thought captive, the end should be that God is glorified. And we're his servant doing what he wants us to do. In closing, I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and just go over that again. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And also verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And I had to think of what Brother David had mentioned about effort to get that precious thing. And I think I had to think, how much effort am I putting forth to take every thought captive so that God can be glorified? Or is it the motivation of my thought for myself? And I think it's a daily. I think it's a reason why it says for the weapons of our warfare. Because it is a warfare. It's not something that once and done and it's over. We daily need to be on guard and bring those thoughts into captivity. And I think same as Jesus, the angels were willing and ready to come and minister to him when he stood faithful to God. So much are the angels willing to come and strengthen all of us if we're willing to do it God's way. Lord bless you.